Years ago, I heard a story about two men who were asked to recite Psalm 23 to a large group of college students. One man was a well-known actor, very gifted, very trained, had a voice like James Earl Jones. What a voice that is. He was perfect in his diction, in his speech technique, in his drama. He quoted Psalm 23, and when he was finished, the audience clapped and cheered, stood and begged for an encore. The next man who spoke was an elderly man, an old black pastor who served a tiny church on the wrong side of the tracks. He repeated those very same words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But when he was finished, the crowd was silent. There was no clapping, there was no cheering, there was no jubilation. Instead, everyone sat there silently. Their hearts were moved. Tears were running down their cheeks. And the first man, the noted actor, stood to his feet, and I love what he said. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the difference between what you have just heard from me and from this dear brother is that I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." But he knows the shepherd. And I love that because I am convinced there is nothing that will transform your life more than knowing the shepherd. It's one thing to know the psalm, but it's something totally different to know the shepherd. And the greatest aspiration of our life should be to know the shepherd. Now, when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," in those five words, in those five words alone, there are three profound truths that I want you to remember this morning. The first truth has to do with relationship. I want you to notice David's use of the possessive personal pronoun. He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. He doesn't even say the Lord is your shepherd. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's not just a shepherd, but he's my shepherd. He was talking about a personal relationship that he had with the Lord. Jesus would say this in John chapter 10. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." In verse 14, he said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about intimacy. He's talking about that unique relationship that he desires to have with all of his sheep, that he would know them, that they would know him, that they would know his voice, that he would give anything, including his life, for his sheep. Christ wants to be intimately involved in our lives. Please understand, he's not just a Sunday morning Savior. He's not just a Sunday morning Savior. He's an everyday, every moment shepherd. It's all about our personal relationship with him. Now, I've been told this. I may be wrong. Some of you who grew up in the country can correct me after the service if I'm wrong. I'm a city boy. I grew up in an inner city. I grew up on concrete. But I've had people tell me that farmers can leave their cows a great deal of the time. They can let them on their own for a great deal of the time. But shepherds don't have that flexibility. They can't just let the sheep roam for hours and hours on the hillsides on their own. They can't even be left alone at night to sleep. A shepherd has to stay with them. A shepherd has to guard them. A shepherd always has to lead them. A shepherd always has to watch over them. David wanted his readers to understand that truth. David wanted his readers to understand that the Lord isn't someone who leads us somewhere and he drops us off and then he comes back sometime later, whenever it may be, who knows when, to check on us. He doesn't lead us to then leave us. He doesn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He doesn't build a home in us to walk away. He doesn't lift us up to let us down. David wanted us to understand that the Lord stays right there beside us. He sticks closer than a brother. Matter of fact, Scripture says in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that he promises never to leave us and never forsake us. And that's important. See, I know that he's with me. I know that he will always be there. I know that Jesus Christ will always be there for me in good times and in bad. When I'm doing well, he is there. But even when I'm not doing so well, he is not going to leave me. He's not going to be a fair weather friend like so many turn out to be. Therefore, he can be my anchor. And I can tell you, I've walked with him all of my life, and I've never turned to him and not found him there. Regardless of what I've done, he has always been there. And I have that assurance in my heart. Now, the reason a lot of people don't have that kind of assurance in their heart is because they've never tried to maintain an intimate relationship with him. David wanted us to understand it's all about relationship. Going to church, is that important? Absolutely. Reading your Bible, is that important? Absolutely. Praying, giving in the offering, all of those things are good. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have this intimate relationship. Listen, authentic Christianity, real Christianity is about choosing Jesus Christ to be both the Savior and the Shepherd of your life. It's more than him just being the Savior. It's about a relationship. It's about him being the shepherd of your life. You have made that cognitive choice to become one of his sheep, to hear his voice, follow him, and have a personal relationship with him. That's what David was talking about in these first five words. The second thing that he was talking about in those first five words of Psalm 23 has to do with reliance. See, when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was making a declaration about his complete and total dependency on the Lord. Now, as you probably know, sheep are some of the neediest animals on the planet. And frankly, they're not very bright. They're prone to wander. They're very, very vulnerable to enemy attack. They don't defend themselves well. They need someone to take care of them. They need someone to lead them. They need someone to protect them. Now, we hate to think of ourselves in that light. But let's be honest. Left to our own devices, our track record isn't very good, is it? If you study human history and you take God out of the picture, it's not a very pretty picture, is it? Now, that rubs some of we Americans the wrong way. The fact that we should have somebody who has authority over us causes some people to bristle. They don't want someone else leading their life. They want to be the master of their own domain. We don't want to be relying on anyone. But that's not the way that we should view things as believers. See, when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was acknowledging the fact that I'm not the master of my own domain. Matter of fact, he was saying, "Lord, like sheep that desperately need a shepherd to lead them and feed them and protect them, Lord, I want you to know that's what I need. I need you." When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was essentially saying, "Lord, I've got to admit, I'm not very bright at times. But you're omniscient. You know everything, and you're always right." When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was essentially saying, I'm not that strong. Matter of fact, I'm very, very prone to weakness at times, but you're omnipotent, and there's nothing that you can't do. When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was essentially saying, I'm not capable of taking care of everything in my life that needs to be taken care of, because I know that I have limitations. But you don't. You're omnipresent. You have no limitations whatsoever, and you can be everywhere that I need you to be at any time that I need you to be. Now, we've heard all the cliches all of our life. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. When things get tough, the tough get going. God helps those who help themselves. And there's truth in each and every one of those, but the fact of the matter is this: the reason that we find ourselves sometimes in the mess that we do is because we have been trying to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps instead of falling on our faces and crying out to God and saying, "God, I can't do this. God, I'm not capable of this. God, my bootstraps aren't long enough for this situation. God, I am totally dependent upon you to see me through this situation in my life." See, when we say, "The Lord is my shepherd," when we say that and mean it, we are declaring without apology that our bootstraps sometimes just aren't long enough. Now, some people can't bring themselves to admit that. And listen, that's why the bridges of their life keep falling down. And that's why there's a lot of rubble at the foundation of their life from time to time. That's the reason marriages crumble more often than not. It's the reason businesses crumble and relationships crumble and finances crumble. It's because we're too proud to say, God, I've really messed this up and I can't do it on my own anymore. I acknowledge my dependency upon you. Would you please step back in and would you help me and would you put together the broken pieces of my life? David was talking about reliance. And when we say, God, I'm totally reliant upon you. I need you. You know what we're going to discover? We are going to discover, loved one, that he is absolutely trustworthy. We are going to discover that he is the good shepherd. We are going to discover that he is the gentle shepherd, that he will never do anything to harm us. He will never lose us and he will never forsake us. See, when David sang on that hillside that night and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, he was singing about a relationship, but he was also singing about reliance. And he was essentially saying, I don't care what other people think. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, in my life and I need you desperately. The third thing that he was talking about was rights. Rights. When David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he was making a declaration about the ownership of his own life. A shepherd owns the sheep. And he not only owns the sheep, but he marks them. So everyone will know they belong to me. Years ago, they used to brand sheep. They don't do that anymore because the fur sort of all grows and wool grows back and it sort of covers it up. So then what they started to do is in recent days, they put little tags on the ears, identification tags. That lamb belongs to me. But before they had the identification tags, for a long, long time, they would make little notches on the ears. And each shepherd had its own little notch, its own sign of identification. I read a story some years ago about a shepherd who notched the ear of a newborn lamb born to his flock. And he watched that little lamb begin to grow. And then one day the lamb was gone. Walked away, left the flock, abandoned the shepherd. No one was sure exactly what happened. The shepherd searched far and wide trying to find this little lamb, but it was nowhere to be found. A couple years passed, and one day this shepherd was at an animal auction. And he saw a grown sheep up for sale. And then he noticed the ear. And he said, wait a minute. That's my mark. That's mine. That's the one that left my flock years ago. And so he went to the auctioneer and he said, you know that mark. You've seen that mark before. You know that's mine. That's the one that I lost years ago. That sheep belongs to me. And the auctioneer said, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you want it, you're going to have to pay for it, bid for it, just like everyone else. So that's what the shepherd did. Matter of fact, he ended up having to pay an outrageous price because the auctioneer knew that he really wanted this lamb back. Way above market value. But that's what he did. And it was back in its fold. And now that man had a double right, if you please, to this lamb. A right from birth, and a right because he just paid the price to gain him back into the fold. Think about it, as Christians, our rights belong to God. Our rights belong to Jesus. And the reason is twofold. First of all, it's from our birth. He's our creator. He's the one who created us. He's the one who has ownership over us. Without him, we don't even have air to breathe, do we? And secondly, because we were lost, we left the fold. We were desperately lost, and he came and paid the price for our redemption to bring us back into his family. That's exactly what we did. Isaiah said it this way, all we like sheep have gone astray, all of us, we have turned. He said, everyone, there's no exception, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Because we all wandered. Because we all went astray. Father God laid upon his son that wandering that strain, the iniquity of all of us. In other words, God had to pay an outrageous price to bring us back into his fold, and it cost him the greatest possession that he had. It cost him the life of his son. That's why Isaiah would go on to say, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not its mouth. See, beloved, when we say the Lord is my shepherd, when we say just those five words, here's what we're saying. I know the price that was paid for me. I know the price that was paid for me, and I know that it was an outrageous price. I know that I wasn't worth it, but the shepherd thought I was worth it. And because he thought I was worth it, I will gladly relinquish the rights of my life to him. He can have ownership of my life. Loved one, never be embarrassed that you belong to Jesus. Never be embarrassed that you belong to God. And here's why. That's a declaration of your worth and your value. That's a very positive thing. Worth and value are determined by what someone is willing to pay for it. Isn't that true? That means you are incredibly valuable. You belong to him because he aggressively sought you out, and he was willing to pay the most outrageous price in the world to gain you back into the fold. See, when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was talking about a relationship that's very, very personal and very, very real. When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was talking about complete reliance upon his shepherd. When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was talking about rights that no longer belonged to him, but belonged to the shepherd who clearly paid for those rights, not just once, but twice. See, one of the most beautiful pictures that we have in Scripture is that of Christ, is that of the Good Shepherd, one who gently and tenderly and patiently and lovingly cares for his sheep. And let me assure you, he has every right to call himself the Good Shepherd. He has every right to call himself the Gentle Shepherd. Let me give you a couple quick reasons why. First of all, it has to do with his credentials. Now, Jesus, in John chapter 10, uses the image of the sheepfold to illustrate his message. A sheepfold was a circular wall. It was about 10 feet tall. And all the sheep would be herded into it at night. Matter of fact, several times there would be several flocks. But even so, there was only one opening. And this one opening was both the entry point and the exit point. There were not two. There was only one. There was no other door. Matter of fact, there was no door at all. Do you know who served as the door? The shepherd would serve as the door. He would gather all the sheep into the sheepfold, and then he would lie across that opening, and the shepherd himself would be the door. That meant that nothing could get in and nothing could go out of the sheepfold without having to go through the shepherd. Jesus said, if someone tries to enter another way, Jesus said he's a thief and a robber. Now, do you know what we're seeing in our world? We're seeing those thieves and robbers all the time. And here's why. They're trying to tell you that you can enter different ways. They're saying, oh no, there's this way and there's that way. There's this way to eternal life and there's that way to eternal life. But if that way is not the way of the Good Shepherd, then they're all lies. They're all mendacities. And those are thieves and robbers who say such things, because Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only truth. Jesus is the only way to the Father. What makes his credentials so special? Think about this. He was born of a virgin, just as Scripture prophesied. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. We shall call his name Emmanuel. He was born in Bethlehem, just as the prophets prophesied would happen. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, O Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel. Not only that, he came at the precise time that God deemed necessary. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but in the fullness of time, God sent his son, And he came with a divine purpose, and that purpose obviously was to redeem mankind. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So here's what I'm saying. I'm talking about his credentials to be the good shepherd, his credentials to be the gentle shepherd, to be the great shepherd. He has all the credentials. Jesus was the right person, born at the right place, arriving at the right time, sent from the right person with the right purpose. He has the right credentials. Secondly, he has the right character. The right character. I saw a news report some years ago. This was in Australia, I believe. A man had been arrested and charged with stealing a sheep from his neighbor. The man pled not guilty and explained that that was actually one of his sheep that had been missing for days and had evidently wandered over to the other man's property. The case went to court. Judge wasn't sure exactly what to do because it was just one man's, you know, word against the other, and so what do you do? So he came up with an idea. He had the two men go out of the courtroom, go down the hall into a different room, and he had the bailiff bring the sheep in question into the courtroom. And then he ordered the plaintiff to call the animal from the other room. And when he did, the sheep raised his head and appeared to be frightened. But when the defendant called for the animal, the sheep took off running toward the door and tried to run down the hall. And the judge said, case dismissed. This animal knows the voice of his shepherd. That's exactly what Jesus said would happen. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, to him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. We're living in a time, we're living in an age, we're living in a day when there are many, many voices who compete for the attention of our heart, who are competing for the souls of men and women and boys and girls all around the world. But when the human heart truly hears the voice of Jesus, that's when everything changes. Because there's something about his character that is totally different than anyone else, anything else this world has to offer. That's the character of the Good Shepherd. That's why Jesus went on to say in that same chapter, I have come that they might have life, and they might have life more abundantly. Let me add one more thing to the list before we close. And that has to do with his concern. Jesus' concern for his sheep is obvious. In verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for myself. He wasn't forced to do this. The reason Jesus went to Calvary is because he cares for us. It's because of his character. It's because of his concern. Jesus talked about the difference between a hireling and a shepherd. A hireling is there for one thing and one thing alone, a paycheck. That's why when trouble comes, he just runs away. He has no vested interest whatsoever. And if the sheep are devoured by wolves, so be it. But a true shepherd has vested interest in the being of his sheep. And here's why. They belong to him. They belong to him. You belong to Jesus. Therefore, he is willing to pay any price necessary to protect you, even if it means he has to give his own life, which he had to at Calvary. He had to at Calvary. Philip Keller, great, great author. At one time, he was a shepherd in East Africa. And he tells a story about land that was next to his that was rented out to a tenant shepherd. And this shepherd didn't take very good care of his sheep. The land was overgrazed, the grass was gone. His sheep were very, very thin. They were diseased by parasites. They were very, very vulnerable to the attack of wild animals. And he said those sheep would often line the fences and stare at his property and stare at his green grass and his pastures. And he said it was almost as if they were saying to him, "Would you please deliver us from this uncaring, unloving shepherd?" They longed to climb the fence and become a part of his sheepfold, he said. I thought about that and I thought that's exactly what Calvary did for us. That's what Jesus did for us. He opened up the door that only he could open. He's the one who said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Come on, cross on over. I'll give you rest." Loved one, Jesus knows you. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you when you're weak. He knows you when you're weary. He knows the very thing that causes you the greatest fear in your life. He knows the very thing that breaks your heart. He knows the very thing that brings you to your greatest joy and your greatest peace. He knows you and he cares about you. See, the question isn't, does he know you? The only question is this: do you know him? Do you know this gentle shepherd? Do you know this good shepherd? Do you know the great shepherd? I close with the words of the song that we sang earlier. There's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Let's pray. Gentle shepherd, we are so grateful for the fact that you love us and care for us and desire to lead us and will protect us, meet our every need. And that's demonstrated by the fact that Jesus, you gave your life for us. No one took your life. You laid down your life for us so that we could say, as David did on that hillside thousands of years ago, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I have a relationship with him. I will rely on him at all times. I will turn over the rights of my life to him." As we come to your table, there is possibly nothing that demonstrates that more in our church experience than when we partake of this bread, because it represents your body that was broken for us. When we partake of the cup, because it represents your blood that was shed for us. So as we come to your table this morning, I pray that we would all do so with hearts of great thanksgiving. Hearts of great thanksgiving and praise and appreciation this morning. And we would say, "Thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. Thank you for giving your life for me." May we come today with full assurance as well, knowing that because we belong to you, we can also bring all of our needs to you, all of our apprehensions, all of our fears, all of our concerns, all of our wants, all of our desires, all of our aspirations, we can bring to you. And we can lay them at the foot of the cross today. Have your will and way in our hearts today. And if there's a person here today who does not have a personal relationship with you, if there's a person here today who has not opened up his or her heart to you and said, "Lord, I want you to be my shepherd as well. I want you to be my Savior as well," I pray that before the close of the service, they'll join us in our prayer room, where there will be prayer partners who will show them how they can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is their Savior and the shepherd of their life. Bless this time now, we pray in Jesus' name.